NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Bobby King Green, a pro dating to 2008, looking as good as ever to begin his 2022 campaign.
Is anybody out there who's ever been put down? Anybody who's ever been forgotten, they turn their back on you? You do this for me. Put your middle fingers in the air and tell them I said, F them.
Bobby King Green!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Matt Serra, Jim Norton. Matt looking very good, very thin. Oh. Jim Norton looking very fat and working on it.
No.
Interesting show today. We have Bobby Green, who we both love, and Eddie Bravo. Has Eddie been on our show before? I've interviewed him before.
Yes.
He has. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember if I was on or not.
I don't know if you weren't either. I like Eddie.
I might not have been on.
I like him a lot. You know, he's a conspiracy theorist guy, which is, but it's cool.
Sure.
I like hearing all that shit. I'm like, listen, is the earth flat? Do I know? What am
yes,
I?
Yes, you do know. But
wait,
they're
so
usually
yes,
interesting
yes,
people.
It is, Jimmy?
No, it's not. But I mean, they're interesting.
Eddie
a lot
Bravo,
of conspiracy theorists
Eddie
are very smart.
Eddie Bravo seems to think. But listen,
he does, yeah.
Bravo is a genius in jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
The, master of the rubber guard, Jimmy.
I was watching... He's also very good at explaining things. He's a good talker and a good, because I've never trained jiu-jitsu, but watching him walk through how to get into rubber guard and the trap he sets, very, very interesting to watch a guy who is that good at fighting that he knows if he gives up ground to get ground that he's going to get ground. I mean, I'm really, the psychological stuff in fighting always really interests me more than just knocking somebody out.
Nah, he's a great, great talker, great instructor. I'm a decent talker, but since I got my new knee, I'm also a decent walker.
That's right.
Jimmy, I apologize for my little attempts at little dad humor, dad jokes. I am. Oh, no, I thought this is just dad. Sorry, I'm a super dad. I thought it was dad joke champion. Jimmy,
super
I'm
dad, yes.
I'm way off. But, you know... I suck. You know what? I got to get more organized.
Yeah.
I got these guys texting me about that thing in Manchester. I got to send out pictures of my fucking passport. I'm just not sometimes, man. Thank God I'm my own boss for most of my shit, Jimmy.
Yeah. It's nice, right?
Yeah. You know, I need that. Dude, you know, we have Bobby Green on also.
I know. Bobby's first. Yes. He'll be coming in shortly.
Nice, man. And he is fighting our friend Jared Gordon. And Jared Gordon, although he's coming out now, let's just talk about that a second.
That Patty Pimblett fight. And have we talked to Jared since then? Again, my memory is going, buddy.
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, we have not.
We have not. Thank you, Jake.
You know,
I'm going to read
the king
stance.
When kingdom come. Sorry, that song's called I'm the Man. I don't know if it's called I'm the Man. But I know they say that a lot. They go, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Ah, they do.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Jimmy, another world? I could have been a singer. God damn, I do look.
What smart. World? What the world? What the A Quiet Place?
I meant like another timeline.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant where no one had ears.
I've been watching too much of those multiverse movies. Okay. You know, now DC's doing it with the Flash. Sorry, are we supposed to stay in the real world for now?
No, you'd be a good singer, I think. Like outside the space shuttle.
I get it, Jimmy. Why? I get it. You don't like the way you don't like my voice.
Because sound doesn't travel in space, I don't believe.
I know. And in space, no one could hear you scream.
Nope. Hey, now here's...
No one's getting that reference. Nobody.
It's trying to drive me crazy. In space, no one can hear you scream. It's probably a bad horror movie. Is it like Friday the 13th?
It's Alien. I think it's Alien.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good.
You know?
10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu, which is Eddie's school. Obviously, Tony Ferguson comes from there. And of course, Rogan loves him. But Calvin Gastelum, and now Jake and I were talking before the show, and I don't want to ask you who.
What?
Gastelum looks so good in his last fight, and it's driving me nuts trying to remember who he fought, but I won't look it up. I won't look it up because I want to remember.
Say it again. I'm reading about Eddie Bravo doing the comedy clubs, but go ahead.
Yes, Gastelum's last fight. I and don't tell me who. I'm trying to remember who he fought. He just won. He just looked great. And I'm very frustrated that I don't remember who it was. Wait a minute. I can picture the guy.
It's driving.
Give me the initials.
I'm giving you the whole goddamn thing. Listen to the second part.
Yep.
What's the matter? What?
Chris Curtis. Yeah, you say Curtis. Okay.
I did it very subtle.
Yeah, I know. I was actually thinking, instead of face, I was thinking of age. I was thinking of age because I know Calvin, I believe, is older, and he looks so good against the guy. People thought he was a loser. Yeah, Chris Curtis. Great fight. He looked good.
Dude, you really distracted me. Because ever since you said I look good, I can't stop looking at myself.
I want to ask Eddie how long he's been working the comedy clubs. I did not know he was doing that. Although I may have heard it. Sam Tripoli, I wonder if they work on the road together. Maybe it's doing the podcast. You know, you figure you can both go up and then come out and bullshit a little bit together.
Is this thing on? Jimmy.
What, buddy?
I love the fact that you're just a traveling comedian.
I leave for Cleveland tomorrow. I'm driving to Cleveland, Ohio for Saturday, sold out, but Friday, there's a scattered tickets available for Friday.
Wait, what do you mean you're driving?
I wanted to drive because the flights have been so delayed lately. It's a dick move. I'm really stupid, and I'm going with two people, so I figured I had to save airfare. It's 8 hours. I'm a stupid asshole. That's the reason I'm driving. I'm stupid.
8 hours? Well, what's really the motivation behind not just jumping on a flight, you said?
Because again, the flights have been so late lately that it's 8 hours, right? If you go to leave for the airport, say you have a 2:30 flight, you have to leave at 12:30 for the flight. You have to leave 2 hours. I always leave 2 hours early. So I get there, I take the flight. If it's perfectly on time, it's 2 hours. Okay. And then say another 40 minutes to get to the hotel. It's almost 5 hours if everything is perfectly on time.
But you're not doing shit.
Yeah, you're just sitting there, but I don't like not knowing. It's a stupid move. There's no way to. I'm an asshole. That's my reason. I'm a fucking idiot.
I had to go to Boston to do that looking for a fight, and I had to miss a flight because we had that little nor'easter. So they wanted to send a car. I go, man, I don't know, man. Like, my stomach has. I've ulcerative colitis. I don't want to be in a car. 5+ hours, man.
Yeah, but you can always pull over to a rest area. You'd rather be on a plane. You actually waited for a flight?
Yes.
How long was that?
Dana was making fun of me when I seen Dana. He goes, oh, he didn't say fancy pants, but I say that. He goes, oh, I guess now we can't take any cars.
So wait a minute.
I'm like, ooh, you can't go camping. No, I didn't say that.
Was it a small plane or no?
No, it was a regular plane, man. I'm not Dana. I'll go on one of his fucking flights. What are you talking about? Oh, wait.
Have you been on his private flights with Dana?
Yes.
How bumpy are they?
Earlier, nah, dude. I had a fucking, at least a full-size bed. I had something in there.
Oh, a bed. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that was back in the day. Tooth had the fucking couch. But who's complaining? You're on a goddamn bed. You're in a plane. Oh, that was fun. That was the earlier days of looking for a fight.
Right.
We haven't done that in a hot minute, you know?
Yeah. I bet you'd like to, though, right?
Fuck, man. Jimmy. I get on there. They're like, well, you want the lasagna on the... I go, what the fuck? Yes.
I flew with Bert. Bert on a private plane. It was very fun.
Bert Kreischer?
Yeah, Kreischer. We ate barbecued. We ate barbecue and from like Dinosaur Barbecue. I ate fucking dessert. What a pig I was on that flight.
I love when they have that.
So yeah, let's get the word out to Dana. I would like to fly on his plane with him somewhere.
What you gonna do with that dessert? Do that, do that, da da da. Jimmy, fucking talk of what? Do you know there's also, we don't have the fights for this weekend.
Yeah, we do.
Stop, Jimmy. Let that soak in. I love my buddy Curtis Blaydes.
I do too. Against Sergey Pavlovich. What a fucking great fight that is. 17-1 Sergey is. And of course, Curtis 17-3. Two of those losses coming to Francis. So again, Curtis has shown that as good as he is at taking you down and grinding you up against the cage and just ruining your life, you know, if you catch him right, it could be a bad night for him. All right, we got Bobby Green.
Catch anybody right, it's a bad night for anybody.
But a lot of guys have not been, you know, stopped.
Leave my Curtis alone.
I love Curtis. If he fights the fight he wants, he's going to beat Pavlovich. But Sergey has looked really fucking good. I mean, really good.
So you doubt my man Curtis Blaydes?
No, I just have respect for the guy he's fighting. However, I don't think he's fought anybody who is as dangerous on the ground or the threat of taking you down as Curtis. I mean, Tuivasa, Lewis, Abdurakhimov, you know, all good fighters, but I don't think anybody on Curtis' level. Yes.
Speaking of good fighters, great fighters, Bobby Green in the way.
Let's bring Bobby Green in.
Let's fucking go!
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, Bobby.
Dude, let's do this. All three of us shirtless right now. Let's do it. Let's fucking go, Jimmy. Would you do it?
I'm not in Bobby Green, Matt Serra shape. I won't do it. No, I won't do
it. Just being Bobby, it's weird. If it's all of us, it's one thing. Bobby, what's up, man?
How you doing, big dog?
Good, dude. Listen, man, you were fucking looking. I mean, people, you look at the record. I'm looking over the stuff and I win, W, L, this and that. And I'm like, dude. You lost to Drew. You got caught, but fuck, dude, you were looking good before you got caught. You were looking good. You know? I know that sometimes that makes it worse. Sometimes it's like, but other times you don't even get started, so people don't see. But you saw a fucking in tune, fucking focused Bobby Lee until we got caught.
Yeah. But this in this game, brother, you know, I'm almost going on 50 fights. At some point in time. Shit like that's gonna happen. Where you got a football game, and you got the guys who threw the Hail Mary, you know, and it worked, you know, and it's okay.
And Jared Gordon, who I thought looked really good in his last fight, and I think most people kind of agree that he won that Pimblett fight. Does it kind of? And I've asked a few fighters when you see judging that. Look, this is not like 28-29. This is not that close. Does it make it like you not want to go to a decision? Does it make you make decisions in the cage to avoid going into a decision because the judging has been so inconsistent?
So I can tell you've never been a fight hunt, Jim.
No.
Exactly. The way you asked that question is that like we're doing everything we possibly can, trust me, to win. But you got the world's best in front of you. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're like, can you make a decision just to knock him out? It's like, no, we can go hard, but they're going just as hard to win too. The money's on the line. And sometimes it's just going to go to the judges, and it is what it is.
No, no, but I don't mean, of course, you, no, but he's trying. Hold
whoa,
on.
Jimmy, let's do it.
No, wrong. No, I stand by my question.
How dare you? Know what that sounds like, Jimmy? When what? After a tough fight? Oh, man, well, shouldn't let it get to the judges there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, really?
Not true. Not true. Judges. That's not what I'm saying.
I got PJ Penn in front of me, cocksucker. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're acting like
exactly. That's why he's never been in a fight. He doesn't know.
That is true. But you're acting like you've never seen a guy up 2-0, 2-0, not take it easy in the third round, but be careful and not engage as much because they're just they're up on points. You know, guys do that
because of what? Because the risk of losing too. The risk that he might throw a Hail Mary.
Yes,
you might get knocked out. I was still 100%, and it cost me. You see what I'm saying? I could have just laid off the gas pedal, but who wants to see that? And so we are trying our best. But when you try your best, you can make a mistake like that also. So would you rather just be winning a fight all the time and then a Hail Mary you lose because you were just trying to make this action happen? Or do you take it easy and wait, take your win? You know, some people have different choices.
Different fighters do that, yeah. But I don't even consider it taking it easy. Like, I don't think a guy is not fighting. But there are guys who will take less risks in the final round if they know that they're up 2-0. And you know that that's the truth. So if the judging has been so bad, it's almost like it makes guys go, I have to engage in a way I don't necessarily feel like I need to because I don't trust the judges to give me those first two rounds.
Those are risks that come with that too, buddy. There's a risk that come with that. Like the Max Holloway fight last, he's winning all four rounds, he's trying to be careful. Then all of a sudden, the other kid, Allen, starts coming in that fifth round really hard.
Yeah.
Now, he could have sat and tried to come a little harder, but it could have cost him too, you know? He could have got easily dropped at any time by Allen. Allen has some power.
Well, you look
anytime,
at like...
Anytime, Jimmy, anytime yes. you look to hurt somebody, you put yourself out there to get hurt yourself.
Like, sure.
Exactly.
So, but you look at Usman Edwards. Look at Usman Edwards, where I think Kamaru was up... what was it? He was up pretty in the first fight. He was up going into that fifth round. I want to say 3-1.
Damn, and you're trying to argue this point. You're not going to win against two fighters, okay?
But I'm not even arguing the point. But Bobby, you're I'm not even arguing the point. It's he was up the thing. It was up 3-1. I think 3-1. And he engaged, and I love that he engaged. He didn't kind of stay away and avoid it. He wound up paying for it. I'm kind of agreeing with what you're saying that sometimes a guy throws the Hail Mary. I'm not even arguing the point, but it does happen.
Yes, yes, exactly. So it's just to each his own, you know?
Yeah, right. Fuck yeah, man. Jimmy, I yes. want to get him all riled up before he has to go get Jared Gordon. This is great. Jimmy, I'm happy we're not in studio. I'm going to have to just try to the get between you. I don't know, Jimmy.
No, because if I have a point, I'm not going to... I wouldn't... If Bobby got really angry, I would back off. I mean, if he was I would fucking back off.
Stop poking the bear, please. So, Bobby, though, this is good, though, because even though you're not fighting the guy over W, everybody is thinking that Jared won that. And Jared probably got the most press off that loss than he did off of any win. I mean that in a good way. It's people know who Jared Gordon is because they think, oh, well, he's the one who got robbed by that bad. It's a tongue twister. So now's a good time. You jump on him. You know, fuck, man. His name's hot.
Yeah. They're even talking about doing a rematch between him and Patty. I should let them know there's going to be no rematch. I'm going to smack Jarrett, and then Patty's getting smacked next.
Bobby, and I know you thought about this. I'm no fucking genius, but dude, that's where we should be sounding the fucking horn. Talking about a rematch, that's all. Because you know how to talk. You know how to fucking fight. But people love the trash talk. That's you just said it right there. That's everything. That's all the trash talk you need. They're talking about a rematch. He's got to get past me. Stop talking about that shit. And then I'm going to fuck up that dude with the haircut. And I like everybody involved. A lot of fuckers.
I'm right there with you. I know how to go, just, brother. I know how to go. Well, you know what, but it's business. It's business.
You got to get paid before you get out of that cage. Fuck.
Hell yeah. Hell
does
yeah.
Patty take a fight against Jared Gordon again? He's already said he didn't want it. He's like, I think he said I won the first time. Do you think he takes that fight again?
No, Jimmy. He said it.
He said he won a rematch.
Patty said he wanted
to. Oh, okay. At one point, he said that he won the fight and there was really no use for it.
Sorry to give him the bad news. There will be no rematches, okay? He's going to be, after I get done with Jared, you're next in line, Patty. If he really thinks he's that bad, if you really call yourself the baddie, you got to come fight somebody that's really bad, like me.
Bobby Grease laying it down, man. Shit.
I got to ask you about you. We've read that you are trying to change your name legally to King. What is the thinking and what is the process you have to go through, and how can they actually hold you up from doing that if you want to do it?
Yeah. So I already went to court, the court office, and I put it in. And then the process you have to do, you have to put it into the newspaper for 4 weeks consecutively. Then after the 4 weeks consecutively, then you have to go back to court again and they'll start talking about changing your name. So I'm in the process of the 4 weeks now. So once I finish this, then I'll be going back to court to finish the last of it.
What do you got to put in the newspaper? Just your intent is to do that?
I guess they're saying, I guess it says in the newspaper that, hey, he changed his name from Bobby Green to Just King.
And what is it, something you've always wanted to do, or what made you decide to do it? Or was it something you waited for and now you're doing it?
Yeah, I was going to do this a couple years back, but I was fighting child support cases with my other baby mama. I got a black baby mama, I got a white baby mama, and I got a Mexican baby mama. So
yeah, you're the United Nations of daddies.
Yeah.
There's something there. Hey, listen, you spread the love, you know?
Man, my life is crazy, man. My life is crazy.
You like kids. You end up having a bunch of kids. That's beautiful.
Hey, listen, I wouldn't have kids myself if it wasn't my choice, but I just support the women on what they want to do with it. And they wanted it, so I have to support it.
Yeah, but now I'm sure you're...
Oh, yeah, of course. Now, yeah, I love my children.
Yeah.
But at first, is there times, because I have no kids, so when you first hear that, at first you're like...
Exactly. Every guy feels that way, you know, like what? And like the pressure of having to take care of children and, you know, are you qualified or ready? You know, I met a girl within a month and she got pregnant. So it's like,
oh, wow. What's your favorite color? I forgot to ask. I know you got to fucking, you don't know them too well. You're like, I don't know if we're compatible for the rest of our
exactly.
life. Exactly.
Yeah. Did it bring you closer together, or did it just say, okay, this is what we have to do, but now we're split?
This is what we have to do, but now we're split, you know?
Okay.
I mean, you're not going to have these problems. Guys like me and you, look at the shirt off, the chains. We're not.
I understand.
They want this. Oh, yeah.
I don't have multi-ethnicity choices. Like, Bobby's kind of got choices I don't have. I take what my options are, which is whoever will accept money.
I don't know. Women just like me. I don't know what it is about me, but I guess they like to keep my babies.
That's fucking great. And you said you want to change your name to, it was a King?
King, yeah.
So it'd be King Green.
No,
just King. King.
Oh, just King, but almost like the Madonna or the Prince, that kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like that thing, you know? Like, we only live once. One day, I just wake up and it's like, why not? You know what I'm saying? For one. Two, it's like, I'm rebranding myself. I want to let everybody know that, like, where I come from, I was in foster care with no mom, no dad. Been in 50 different homes. I've been homeless. So, to be a peasant, and you could come one day working so hard to become a king, you know? And it's not trying to be cocky like good king or anything like that. You know, I'm a king, you know? And I worked hard to put myself in this position to be one, you know? And so it's just really pushing myself to that limit where also I almost got 50 fights. Jorge just quit at 52. I don't know anybody right now that's doing this like me where they're doing 3-4 fights consecutively a year at 50. You know what I'm saying? Jorge was doing it once a year. You know, I talked to Chielsa. He's like, I'm at 38. I'm like, you're still at once a year. Who's doing it consistently like me? No one.
And growing up in like foster homes and stuff like that, right?
Really fast.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
But Kevin Holland last year, they had him like, for the most fights. I think it was at 11 and I had 9. And I'm like, Kevin, me and him got a little bit of back and forth. I'm like, bro, I'm still doing you consistently. And I would have done those other two fights, but one of them I had some issue with, this one. This other one, I passed out after making weight. I would have had 11, and I would have been tied the record with him. And I'm still in this game 12 years longer than him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who's doing it at this record? You know, who's doing it at this rate?
So when growing up in, like, foster homes, how did that kind of mold you being a fighter? Did you have, like, tough circumstances and you fought as a kid, or did it have nothing to do with it?
Oh, yeah, brother. It definitely molded me to who I am. You know, I had to fight every day. Like, my school was 90% Mexican and, like, 80% Black. And we used to have Black and Mexican riots. And I had a Mexican girlfriend, so it made it a lot worse. You know?
Right.
So it was crazy.
That's like a reboot on fucking West Side Story right there.
Yeah.
Get your Bobby coming out. Nah, 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 nah.
So do you learn how to make friends? You make friends pretty quick. Like if you're moving around a lot and you're in a lot of different places, do you probably just adjust fast and make friends fast and you're comfortable around strangers? Yeah,
bro. My friends are my family members. Like I got a white brother. I got some Mexican brothers, you know. All my friends are my family. You know, I treat them just like family because I didn't have my family really like that. Like I didn't see my family till I had like 4 world titles. Then my family started showing up to my fights. I'd never seen them come or any support before that.
Right. It's when you have the titles. Did you resent that or no? Is it cool that they came?
Did I resent it? It's just what it was, you know. It's just people, you know. When you're in need or when you're looking for somebody, no one would be there. But when you got plenty and you're making stuff happen, you're on your purpose. People are gonna follow.
People love your style. Obviously, you talk in the cage, and you really do. You do that because you want to entertain people, or it's just natural, or do you find it frustrates other guys?
It's a bit of all. It's a bit of all of them, you know. One, my biggest thing is I'm trying to give my own package, okay? There's no fight that you're going to get like mine. You know, like, yeah, Kevin Lee kind of does a little something like that. I mean, like Kevin Holland, whatever.
Holland, yeah.
But I started this shit. I've been doing this, you know what I mean? They came after me. I've been doing this. And so Sean does it. Me and Sean Strickland, we grew up together. And he used to get so mad at me when I would do it to him during practice. And like, he would think he would call it disrespectful. Now he does it. I'm like, Sean, you trying to take my swag. I'm the one that started this shit. Now you do it. You used to get mad at me about it. Now you're doing it.
And then he takes it to another level and gets the and says, oh, let's meet in the desert. No, I've dreamed of this. And we'll fight in the desert.
I know. He gets all weird with it. I still keep the shit cool. My shit be cool. This shit get a little weird. Like, he's having some dark confessions.
He gets a little Jeffrey Dahmerish when he starts.
Yeah, some dark confessions.
Has anybody been able to do it to you? Or who would you say has had the best response to that? Or any type of a surprising response to that?
Dustin Poirier gave me a little couple words back. Everybody else is kind of like, they don't really say shit. Dude Dober was like, killed me with kindness. He just kept smiling it off and like, okay. You know, he's a fucking kind motherfucker. So, I don't know. I think Drew killed me with kindness. I kept fucking like, get mad, you know? He was just so happy.
And you were lighting him up and he's still smiling. You're making him not so pretty and he's still fucking.
He tried to say something to me in there. I hit him with a 1-2. Pop, pop. I said, shut up. He was like, shut up. Fuck that.
This guy said that doesn't bother them, but there's no way as a man when you're getting hit and a guy is saying that to you, that goes back to a schoolyard when a guy is taunting you while he's kicking your ass. There's no way that doesn't bother somebody when you're talking to him.
And you just said it perfectly. I'm bringing that to the audience. It's like a schoolyard fight. Like I bring the streets to the cage, you know, where you get to see two guys that actually like what it would look like in a real fight. You know, this ain't no, you know, one of them, this is something different. This is like you back at home and you got in the fight. What would you want to see? You know, a lot of these guys these days are changing the industry. I feel like the time that me, Matt was around, they were real warriors. We went on fought. Now I feel like they're becoming more like wrestling matches and like guys are strategically just trying to win instead of I'm trying to go in there and fuck you up. You know, it just became this little arms. I'm going to hold you for like 2 minutes. And then from there, we'll do a little something. Like, nah, I came to go to war from A to B.
Always yep. Do, bro. Always entertaining.
Yes.
I know when I see Bobby on there, I'm like, there's going to be some fucking shit talking in the cage. There's going to be some hands down. People don't like the hands down. I fucking love it. If you could do it. I like when this old dude, his hands should be up. Really? Because his hands are low, his hands are up, and he's fucking lighting him up. Dude, Bobby Green, keep doing you. I can't wait to call you King.
Thank you, sir. They kept criticizing my style and telling me, you know, that I don't do this. And they said that like the shoulder roll that like the Floyd Mayweather couldn't ever do that. I'm doing all the things. I'm breaking all your rules. I'm not listening to any of you. You told me I couldn't do this. This is my shit. This is my stance on it. I'm taking my shit and I'm never gonna change. From nobody. This is what I do. And so you get this from me. You can get that other shit from them. This is my shit.
Yeah. Well, Wonderboy
fights
original.
With his Wonderboy's arms are down
original,
a lot.
Jimmy. Sorry.
Doesn't it make it harder sometimes for a guy to see where a punch is coming from too? Like if you're fast enough, when your arms are down like that, it makes it harder for them to see where it's coming from.
Yeah, exactly. Wonderboy's got it too. and I get it a little bit from, I get it from my coach, which is the karate. He does boxing, just karate, Muay Thai, but karate was one of his main suits. So, Wonder Boy is on the same thing where we know how to keep our hands on a certain range. We'll get our hands up once we start getting closer into certain ranges. You know, we know where the danger is. But when we're from a safe distance, we know we can have our hands here, you know, into the right time.
And when you're rolling with those punches, man, even when some of them get through, you're taking away 60, 70% of that shit. Like, right? I mean, nobody does the shoulder roll like you. And it's funny, not to make a comparison. I'm trying to think. Kevin Holland has a decent one. He has another decent one. It's only other. Who else is using that shit like you? I mean,
no one. And be honest, when he fought Wonder Boy, it didn't work so well. It wasn't working well at all, you know? And so he still got to go work on his shit. But this is my shit. Stop trying to steal my swag. That's what I'm saying. All these guys are stealing my swag. Now, they all talk shit, but now they want to steal my swag.
All right, Bobby, we have our next guest. They're telling us we have to wrap because our next guest is in the waiting room, and we pushed him back. But good luck on Saturday against Jared Gordon. It's a great fight. You're always a really fun guy to watch fight, and good luck on Saturday.
I appreciate you guys so much. Jim, when I see you, I'm going to punch you in the face. Matt, you're my fucking guy. You're my guy, Matt.
All right, buddy. Be good.
All right, Bobby. All right. Go get it, brother.
And Matt, if Bobby goes to hit me, you better jump in. Let's bring on Eddie Bravo right now.
I'll jump in. I'll give him a hug. He's playful. He's playful.
I know he is. And I know I was right in my point. You guys are both wrong. I'll argue with any fighter about that.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yes.
What's up, Eddie?
Yes!
What's up?
Thank you.
Eddie Bravo, Jedi fucking master. What's up, bro?
What's up? How you doing?
Hey, man. I just had one of my black belts, Nick LaMagna. He has one hand. He visited you recently. We call him Nicky Knuckles. Anyway, dude, you smoke about as more weed than me, so you probably don't remember. But anyway, he's seeing you, and he said you treated him well. Thank you, bro.
No, I think I remember.
Yeah, he's a little guy. He's a little guy like my son, a little bit smaller than me, and he's got like one hand. So, of course, he gets the nickname Nicky Knuckles. It's fucking crazy. He's a black belt. Nice guy. Really nice guy. Friends with Brian Kelly. How are you, man? Hey, I can never see you leaving. A lot of guys up and leaving to Texas and fucking like Joe Rogan left with a bunch of them. Brought it like a... Like the Pied Piper, he brought a bunch of comedians with him to Texas. And I know you're doing the comedy now. For some reason, it's like me in Long Island, New York. I fucking love the place? I'm never leaving. I can never leave New York. I can't picture you leaving LA for some reason. Do you think you'll ever leave?
I thought about it. Once they started with the vaccine passports at my local mall, once they started with that, I was like, it was like a year and a half ago. I'm like, oh shit, called my wife. And I was like, let's get the fuck out of here. It's time to go. So we actually went to Tampa, looked at some spots. We flew to Tampa, looked at some spots, was about to pull the trigger. And then I thought, you know, once they put the vaccine passports in, they're not going to pull them out. I thought they would never pull them out, but I was hoping. And I said, you know what? Let's stay to the bitter end. Let's try to survive in LA. And you know what? They ended up dropping it. I mean, everywhere. So thank God I stayed because the weather is just perfect.
And I love it.
Oh, the weather is just, I'm here because the weather. The weather is why. Like Florida's too hot. It's too humid. Texas is too hot. I about it, but thank God I didn't. Thank God we held out. And then they ended up dropping all the bullshit. So we're good now. I'm in LA for good.
Yeah.
How many podcasts are you doing? Is it just the one with Sam Tripoli?
That the one with Sam Tripoli is not mine. That's Tinfoil Hat Podcast. I'm a regular, but if I'm my podcast is called Look Into It, and it's also on Roxanne. So I got my own podcast.
What's your podcast called?
Look Into It.
Okay.
Now, is that about like pop culture? This or is that a strictly conspiracy stuff?
Which it's I everything. Love. It's everything. I mean, sometimes it's all about music. Sometimes it's all about MMA. I just had Boz Rutten on. We didn't talk about any conspiracies. We're just talking about, like, you know, the timeline of MMA. You know, Matt, the timeline is so epic. Like, there's these kids that are just getting into MMA now. They don't know the timeline. They don't know what happened in the 90s. The birth of the UFC and how the UFC got canceled. The UFC got fucking canceled before cancel culture even existed, you know?
Eddie, we grew up, and this will never happen again. We grew up really not knowing what real fighting was. Is it Chuck Norris? Is it Bruce Lee does this? And is Kung Fu better than karate? We didn't really know. We didn't know. These kids know. They know what's up. We didn't have it.
Yeah, dude, I wrestled in high school and I was horrible. I was a horrible wrestler. I didn't want to shoot any takedowns. Everybody was losing their teeth. I was like, you know what? You shoot and I'll sprawl on you. How about that? So that's all I did. I got a good sprawl and a good front headlock. And I was always a pussy growing up. No one ever thought of me as a fighter. Like, no, my family never thought of me as a fighter. If we needed to fight, someone needed to fight, there was a cholo out starting shit, they sent my brother. I was always the pussy. I cried all the time and shit. So I used wrestling. I never looked at wrestling as a martial art at all. To me, it was like one-on-one football. But if anytime I got in a fight, I would just take dudes down and wait till the principal broke us up. I'm like, I know I'm cheating. I always thought I was cheating. I was grounding and pounding before Mark Coleman, dog. But I thought I was being a pussy. And then when I saw UFC 2 and I saw Hoist taking people down and choke, I'm like, that's real fighting? Oh my, I didn't think that was real fighting. I thought that was pussy fighting. So then I just joined jiu-jitsu right away.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I did Wing Chun Kung Fu. Hours a night, combat stuff with my father. My father did it. We would do the chain punch. I had a wooden dummy in my garage. I did a season. I did a season and a half of wrestling because I didn't get along with the coaches too much. Anytime I got into a fight as a kid, I'd start off with a chain punch, and then right away I'm fucking grabbing. And then when I saw a tape of Gracie in action, which I know you've seen those tapes.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people have, but I'm surprised. Those tapes. That's when everything was like, just like you said. I'm like, they're getting them down and they're all sitting on them and they're getting a mount. And I was like, whoa. So I'm with you, man. Yeah. The kids today will never, it's almost like, I don't want to be like the kids, but it's not like, it's almost like they're spoiled in a sense. They'll never know, like that they'll never know what it's like to not know what real fighting is, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And the crazy thing is when the UFC first burst out, not only were we all floored, like, oh my God, you could fight on the ground, but grown ass men, me included, thought that, oh shit, all striking doesn't work. That's only for the movies. If you try to strike, you're going to get taken down and choked out. So I thought, and many adults around me thought, like throwing a jab was bullshit. We thought throwing any kind of kicks was bullshit. Like in those first UFCs, like, okay, all striking is all, it's all for the movies. It ain't shit. Jiu-jitsu, they just take you down and choke you out. Striking is bullshit. And then I remember Don Fry threw a jab. And I'm like, a jab might work. And then Marco Huas threw leg kicks on Paul Varlins. And we're like,
polar bear.
Okay, I guess. Okay, leg kicks. Okay, leg kicks.
Yes.
Okay. So then we're like, okay, no head kicks, though. No head kick. Grown men thought no head kicks. You can't really, if you try to box with a jiu-jitsu guy, they're going to take you down. And then leg kicks. Okay. Oh, leg kicks are cool. And then Maurice Smith knocked out Conan Silveira with a head kick and like Battlecade or one of those things. And we're like, what? Okay, head. Okay, he got lucky. And then Mark Coleman knocks out Pete Williams with a head kick. And we're like, do head kicks work? And Pete then Williams. Now all strikes work. So for a while there, I thought striking was useless. So it was like the UFC opened our minds, but it also closed them at the same fucking time. You know what I mean? Like, oh shit, ground fighting is the best. Striking sucks. But then as as the timeline moved on and as the sport evolved, now look, all the kick, all those flippy kicks and kung fu kicks and all that shit, even the karate strikes like hammer fist, you're starting to see hammer fist in different sorts of situations. Like if you're in the mount, you want to throw a hammer fist. If you're in someone's guard, that's karate. So it got blown up like a nuclear bomb. Traditional martial arts got blown up, but then got resurrected as time went on. And now look at John Jones throwing all sorts of kung fu Wing Chun kicks. So it's, man, the evolution's insane.
Do you think these young fighters coming up have, I say an advantage, but because they're kind of being trained in everything at the same time to be like more full MMA fighters, do you think they have an advantage to what you guys had coming up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, it's, I mean, the kids today, shit. It's like, especially in just pure jiu-jitsu, like the 16 and 17 year old kids are like the best. The guys that have been doing jiu-jitsu since number two, like the Rutolo twins and Cole Abate, all the kids growing up, they were doing it their whole life. Like it's how do you compete with that? It's incredible. These kids are insane.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
And then you see a guy like, it's interesting too, Raul Rojas Jr. What did you think of that and kind of what happened to him up against a veteran or a guy with a few more fights than him and the way he kind of gassed after the first or put a little too much into it in the first? What did you think about that fight? What mistakes do you think he made?
I didn't see that fight, but I know all about him. He's a grappler on the West Coast. I've seen him. I have students competed against him. I've seen him on several shows. I knew he was going to be a star. And just because I haven't seen the fight, but a lot, you know, get that loss out of the way. You know what I mean? Right. Look at like Aaron Pico. Aaron Pico is insane. He's so good, but he had a couple losses early. And you know what? Get those out of the way. Get that undefeated shit out your head. Because in MMA, you're trying to be undefeated, dog. It's going to be a nightmare for you if you think that's the way it should go. Because it's Russian roulette. Guys are throwing heavy hands. You can get caught. It's in MMA. You just never know what's going to happen. So I'm sure he's going to be back stronger than ever. That lot, as soon as he gets a win in MMA, no one cares about your record. That in boxing, they care about your record. MMA, nobody knows anybody's fucking record. So get that undefeated shit out of your head. And you go out there, you try to do the best you can. You're going to lose and you can just pick yourself back up. And people only remember your last fight. You know, how did you do in your last fight? If you lose, just train hard, get a W and move forward. That's all you can do.
And are you doing stand-up? And if so, when did you start? I didn't realize you were doing it.
I was doing stand-up before 10th Planet. I was doing...
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I wrote on The Man Show when Joe Rogan was the host for The Man Show.
Yeah,
I was a writer on that show. I did like open mics back then. And then I realized that, comedy is two things. You got to be funny and you got to have professional public speaking skills. And I didn't have, I mean, Joe, he put me up on stage. He was pushing me. He goes, dude, because I could tell jokes like in the locker room, I could talk some shit. But there's a big difference between making your friends laugh in the parking lot and getting up on stage in front of people who fucking paid, wives dragging out their husbands and, you know, they got a 2-drink minimum and shit. You better be fucking funny. You better have your shit together. So I learned real quick. I learned really quick that comedy is a lot like jiu-jitsu. You got to get a lot of reps. You got to go out 3, 4, 5 nights a week. And I decided, you know what? I had a bad experience at Comedy Central. So when I went to Brazil in 2003, when I tapped out Royla Gracie, I was actually working as a comedy writer for Comedy Central. So when I got back, I quit the fuck. I walked off that show. I said, fuck that. Went to a local boxing gym and just started teaching jiu-jitsu. And that was the birth of 10th Planet. I walked away from comedy. So I never stopped writing. You know, I just knew that, man, I can't go out 4 or 5 nights a week and work on my public speaking skills and work on my set. So I walked away from comedy, never stopped writing. But after all these years of teaching jiu-jitsu, I got my public speaking skills a little bit better. So Sam Tripoli was like, dude, and he was a friend of mine back when I was doing like open mic nights at comedy. So he always said, dude, if you ever want to come back and do comedy, dude, I'll put you on one of my shows. And then I finally decided in 2017, I go, you know what? It's been 15 fucking years. Let's see what happens. So I went up and, I did better than I thought I would do. The crazy thing is, I always try to, tell jokes here and there in jiu-jitsu. And dudes in jiu-jitsu, they just want to train. They don't want to hear no fucking story. they're like, coach, we heard the story. I got to pick up my kid. Can we get some training in? So I would bomb constantly. Bomb, bomb, bomb. I was like, but when I first got on stage, I'm like, oh my God, I got a fucking mic. I got a mic and these people want to laugh. They don't want to do jiu-jitsu and they're drunk. I'm like, whoa. It was almost like trying to be funny in jiu-jitsu is like strength and conditioning for comedy. You know what I mean? Because I'm bombing all the time. So I was just used to dudes not interested in my stories. Like one guy would laugh at my story or whatever. But man, when you get on stage and they're all paying attention, they don't want to work out and you got a mic, it's a little easier to make people laugh when they want to laugh.
You're a good talker, Eddie. You are a good talker. I told Matt before, I was watching, and I've never trained jiu-jitsu, but I was watching videos of you kind of walking through the rubber guard and how it works and how you trap people. And I was fascinated by it. And just listening to you talk about that, you obviously are a good talker because somebody talking about something I've never trained in and keeping my interest, you definitely have the ability to keep somebody interested when you're talking. It was really interesting to watch.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's weird that the jiu-jitsu 10th Planet trained me for comedy. So now I've been doing comedy now 5-6 years back with Sam Tripoli. We go on the road, you do a tinfoil hat comedy show, and it's the funniest shit. You know, when you get up and it doesn't always work out. Sometimes you don't connect with the audience. Sure. And sometimes it's a bad set. But when it's a good set, when you get up and you connect immediately and everyone's just fucking there laughing and they give you energy, you give them your best performance back. Cause the more they laugh, the better your performance is because you get more confident. And man, when it works, when it works, it's the funnest thing ever. There's nothing funner than getting on stage and everyone having a good time. And, you know, you're just talking shit, just telling stupid stories. I fucking love it. I do it just for love. I'm not doing it for like a special. I don't want none of that shit.
Right.
I just do it. I go once a month, me and I only have time for 1 weekend a month. Like I'm a part-time comic. I can't go full-time every weekend. I got my 11-year-old son. He's balls deep in baseball tournaments every fucking weekend, you know, and white little league shit, man, you got to show up to practice too. Mexican little league, nobody even knew I was practicing, but white little league, the mother and father, they all show up to practice, dog. And so you got to sit there and you're like, pretend like I got my earbuds on, I'm listening to some fucking JRE or something, but I can't be a full-time comic. I just go once a month, we go out, you know, wherever, Texas, Oregon, Seattle, wherever, and we just have fun. And that's it. Then we go back to real life. Sam's a full-time comic, though. He's always on the road. I go out once a month.
Yeah. Eddie, is your son training jiu-jitsu, your 11-year-old?
You know what? We brought up Gracie and I. My son, man, he likes to do his own shit. He calls his own shots. So 5 years ago, when he was like 3 or 4, we were doing arm bars and all that shit, passing the guard. And then he just said, Daddy, I want to do karate. I want to strike. And I'm like, and I'm like, okay. So we got him into karate when he was 5. He's 11 now. Dude, he's a fucking brown belt in karate. So I'll get him when he's like 13. I'll give some kid 20, some wrestler 20 bucks to take him down in front of his girlfriend, humiliate him, and then I'll get him later. Dude, I try to show him Gracie in action. Dude, it backfired. He fucking hated it. He couldn't stand watching his karate guys and strikers get taken down and choked out by the Gracie. Man, I thought it was going to open his eyes. You know, the jiu-jitsu, dude, it pissed him off. I'm like, damn, you know, I gotta give it a couple of years before I try this again.
Yeah.
No rush.
If my son ends up being just a striker and I can never get him into jiu-jitsu and he's just he's for sure at least going to be an awesome striker. Because he fucking loves striking. He loves it. You know, so at least, as long as he doesn't get bullied, that's all I really care about. He doesn't have to follow in my footsteps. You know, I get it. A lot of pressure and all that shit. You know, anytime you have any instructor at a school, when he brings in his son, you know, it's a lot of extra pressure. I get it. If he just wants to be a badass striker, as long as he does a martial art, I don't care.
I got my 3 daughters training. It's the same thing. I got, and they're the same, 11, who's going to be 12 in 2 days, 14 and 9. And they're doing their first tournament in like a couple of months, which is nice. And my wife, that's actually, awesome. Eddie, my wife too, is funny. She's training jiu-jitsu now. She's 3-0 in Muay Thai, amateur Muay Thai, kickboxing. amateur kickboxing. I don't know if it's Muay Thai, whatever. But anyway, she's doing her first jiu-jitsu tournament. So it's fun. We're like the Incredibles, but with martial arts. I don't know.
That's badass.
Yeah, man. So, dude, I want to see your comedy. And what else you got going on, man? What else are we promoting? Anything else? Talk to me.
Combat Jiu-Jitsu. You ever watch that?
Hey, I love it. And you brought up that Aaron Pico guy. Our friend, my black belt, James Gonzalez, fought for you before. And
I love that kid.
Sweet kid. And he's a fucking savage, the alley cat. So he's fighting on short notice. He's in Hawaii, and he's fighting that Pico kid on short notice. So he's the type of kid, his jiu-jitsu is at that level where it could be, and his striking's getting better. But his jiu-jitsu is, he can give anybody a bad night. So it's nice.
Yeah, he's high level. I love him. And he was always down to fight my shows. You know, I would love to have him in combat jiu-jitsu, but it seems like, you know, he's in Bellator now. You know, we'll see how he does in MMA. But
he beat Tyson Griffin on one of your shows, which was very impressive.
Yes.
But I love what you're doing. Listen, Eddie, I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. We know each other forever. I taught this morning. I'm still on the mats. I fucking love it. We're cut from similar cloth. But a lot of times, and I know this sounds like blasphemy, I love watching jiu-jitsu in the UFC. I fucking love it. But some tournaments, I can lose my interest and stuff. But I love that fucking combat shit. Oh, hey, smack me in the face. I like when you're adding that realism. Because some people, one of the things that is lost in the modern era of grappling and jiu-jitsu is distance management. I know it sounds like a fancy thing, but it's basically, are you too close or too far from getting smacked or punched or elbowed in the fucking face? And you recognize this very early on with your revolutionary rubber guard system. So you knew, hey man, I'm clamping them down, I'm closed, I'm tying them up, and I'm fucking them up. So, but it's also keeping the distance. It's an art in itself that it's lost. One of my high level guys tried the combat jiu-jitsu. And he's like, oh, I didn't like it. Fucking not James, another one of my guys. And he's good, very good. He goes, yo, man, fucking, I didn't like that shit, you know?
A lot of high-level jiu-jitsu guys, they don't want no part of the smacking, you know what I mean? For me, I got into jiu-jitsu because of the UFC. Jiu-jitsu didn't get me into the UFC. The UFC got me into jiu-jitsu. So when I first started training, I go, we're playing tug-of-war with our jackets? Like, how is that going to translate to MMA? And I always, in the back of my head, I always thought, if I don't make it in music, my backup plan is going to be MMA. So I better start getting my jiu-jitsu ready now just in case I fail in music. And originally, before comedy, it's always been about music. I always make music. I still make music. I'm dropping an album. I had an album to 2017. Nobody knows about it. But
do you sing or do you play an instrument or do you both?
I do everything. I'm like a jack of all trades. I generally produce music for rappers. I make like metal, industrial EDM type rap, you know. My album, you could go on YouTube. The whole thing's on YouTube. It's called Mix Flick of Death and Devotion. I took 15 of my songs that I produced for different singers. Some are like female singers, some are rappers. I sing a couple. I could barely sing, but every now and then I throw. But I make all the music. I produce all the music. It's called Mix Flick of Death and Devotion. Each song is cut to one of my favorite movies. So like there's a music video of The Shining. There's a music video of Scarface. There's a music video of The Crow. There's a music video of Enter the Dragon. There's a music video of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, 300. So each one of my songs is cut to these, like, my favorite movies. So it's very, if you don't like the music, you can put it on mute and just leave it on. It's like an hour and a half of just awesome scenes, and you just hang out with your friends. You don't even have, you can put your own music over it. It's just visually, it's the most entertaining visually. You can't get anymore because it's the best movies up. How do you get better than scenes from Scarface? Like that.
Plug it again,
Eddie. Where can people see it?
I call it a mixed flick because it's like, you know, there's mixed tape. Well, this is like a mixed movie, musical thing. You go to YouTube, it's called Mixed Flick of Death and Devotion. And that came out like in 2017. I got a new album coming out too. It's like a parody music. It's like comedy music. It's this project's called Hook Thieves. I leaked a lot of the music on YouTube. If you look up Hook Thieves, there's some of my new music's coming out. I'm leaking it, but the album's going to be out in about a month. But, you know, nobody really knows about my music. So I kind of, I don't talk about it that much. But this is the first time I'm talking about my music, like on someone else's podcast in a long time. It's not for everybody.
But it's just something you feel passionate about, and it's an art that you love.
Yes. So getting back to the combat jiu-jitsu, I was floored by the UFC because of the jiu-jitsu, you know, and I was already a boxing fan. That was already kickboxing. We already had that. The reason the UFC blew up was because of the fighting on the ground. It had nothing to do with the striking, because we already had kickboxing. Kickboxing pretty much failed in the United States. Nobody was watching that shit. And boxing's huge. I was a gigantic boxing fan. I was an encyclopedia of boxing. I had boxing magazines stacked all over my fucking house. I knew everybody's record in the top 10 from every division. Then I see UFC 2 and I'm like, I threw all that shit away and went headfirst into UFC. You know, when the UFC bust out, half the boxing fans jumped ship. And then half the boxing fans said, fuck that, that's human cockfighting. That's not a real sport. So half stayed. So with combat jiu-jitsu, I wanted to take the best, my favorite part of UFC, my favorite part of MMA, which was the ground fighting with strikes. So that's all combat jiu-jitsu is. Combat jiu-jitsu is for the people, MMA fans, who love the ground fighting more than the stand-up fighting. And that's all it is. We don't have stand-up fighting in combat jiu-jitsu. It's all about jiu-jitsu, high-level jiu-jitsu with fucking strikes. People say slaps. You can call them slaps, dog. But they're palm strikes. Noses are broken. Orbitals are broken. People get fucking knocked out. They're not slaps. So that's all I did. And I just wanted... And then the one thing, the most important thing that made... Or one of the most important things that made UFC 2 so impactful worldwide was the 16-man tournament. The 16-man tournament. Because if you get 16 guys together, 16 martial arts, you don't have to know any of their names. You just have to pay attention to that first round. And then the second round, you're like, oh, that guy's fighting that guy. Oh, shit. And then that's like a full season. A 16-man, like the first two rounds are like the regular season. And then the semifinals, like the playoffs. Ooh, the top four guys like, oh, I just saw these guys. Oh, shit. And then the finals, like the Super Bowl. So 16-man tournaments are key. That's why the UFC 2 blew the fuck up. So I'm doing 16-man tournaments. I'm doing just like UFC 2, except there's no kickboxing. There's no boxing. It's just jiu-jitsu and fighting on the ground. So I want to...
You know what's funny? Go ahead.
No, I'm good. So that's what funny. I try to do. I just try to make the most entertaining jiu-jitsu event possible. And the fact that we could do 16-man tournaments and MMA can't no more because it's just too brutal. You can't do 16-man tournaments no more. It's too brutal. But you can in combat jiu-jitsu because it's not as brutal. So that's one advantage combat jiu-jitsu has over MMA. We got 16-man tournaments. You guys got single. You got cards with single matches. We got so and when it comes to overall entertainment output, a good like the last show we had with Andrew Tackett and Alan Sanchez in the finals, the welterweight show we did like a month ago. Shit, entertainment value. Shit, that's right up there with UFC Fight Night, in my opinion. Entertainment value. I know a lot of guys like they don't even watch MMA no more, but they love combat just because some people just don't want to watch striking.
It makes you respect the positional dominance in grappling, where some guys could just sit in their fucking, you know, the stance here, and you know, and then I mean, what they gotta realize is a lot of times nowadays, because everybody's like, so I mean, they're getting better at it, but they were so few to the leg locks with no gi grappling, they're avoiding getting them out because they're afraid they're gonna shuck up and get on their legs. Dude, go back, speak of UFC number 2. Here's a Snapple bottle fucking fight for you. Fucking Scott Morris versus fucking Patrick Smith. Dude, that'll make you respect the fucking mount. He got mounted and he's a kickboxer. But he must have been like, hey, at least one of the Gracies are doing. Ken Shamrock broke my leg in the first one. Let me try this shit. He got mounted on this ninja, and I'm not even fucking around. The guy did ninjutsu, Scott Morris. He choked out his first guy. Pat beat his first guy. Second round, he goes to take down Patrick Smith. Patrick gets on top, and these elbows, I don't know if you can find this fight in fucking Fight Pass, but these elbows from Patrick Smith, I've seen this over fucking maybe almost close to 30 years ago. I'm still fucking horrified. Right, Eddie? Brutal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Dude, totally. That was UFC 2. That was UFC 2.
I know. That made me think of it.
If you're a UFC fan out there watching this, go back and watch UFC 2. Because UFC 1, nobody really watched UFC 1 because there was no B-roll. There was no highlights from a previous show because that was the first show. So I was like, what is this, WWE? I thought it was fake, so I didn't even watch it. And then I heard about it. My buddy goes, dude, that Ultimate Challenge thing was real. I go, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, they had kung fu guys and boxers. And apparently this Iranian guy just grabbed everybody. He just choked everybody. He just grabbed them by their throat. And I go, an Iranian? He goes, yeah, I think he was Iranian. He was grabbing everybody by the throat and he choked everybody, I guess. And I'm like, oh shit, I go, karate guy? Cause I was doing karate at the time. Yeah. I go, karate guy too? And he goes, I think everybody, bro. And I'm like, fuck. So then when UFC 2 came out, I go, I gotta watch this fucking Iranian guy. And it turns out he was Brazilian. But that's what set it off. UFC 2 is the greatest UFC of all fucking time.
Orlando Wheat versus Remco.
Hell yeah.
Come on, man.
Yes. Yes.
I go through the whole fucking card with you.
How about the most brutal of all though was Big Daddy Goodrich against Gary Goodrich against Paul Herrera.
Herrera.
Got him in that crucifix. Man, that crucifix. Woo!
Dude, Herrera's I seen him recently. Doesn't he works with if it's the same Herrera, doesn't he work with the jiu-jitsu kid? Fucking with the braids, fucking Brian T. City.
Maybe. He might.
Ortega?
Brian Ortega, yeah.
Yeah.
He might, because...
Nice guy. Is it Paul Herrera, right?
That tank camp and Tito Ortiz camp with Huntington Beach. So it's possible that they're working together. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, man. Well,
But what you're like, saying about positional stuff, it's a problem for me. It's a problem for me that the most... because I'm in the jiu-jitsu business, the two most popular guards are sit up guard where people are like on their butt and they're looking for two on ones and just open Z guard. Those are the two most popular guards. But when they're strikes, those are the worst guards. Isn't that a problem? That's a problem. That's the worst guard. When they're strikes, and check this out. So that's a problem, right? The most popular guards are the worst guards when they're strikes, and the most important guard when they're strikes, full guard. That's the most important when they're strikes. Is the least important in grappling. Like you could win Abu Dhabi 10 times in a row and never put anybody in full guard. Full guard in Abu Dhabi is like, you could rest there or something, but nobody, it's the least important guard, right? But in MMA, oh, it's so fucking important. A guy's trying to fucking smash you, you better put him in full guard and control his posture and protect your fucking head or get the fuck away, you know, either get the fuck away or get inside, either tight or far away. But that in-between shit where you see him sub only, that's a problem for me. For me, that's why I'm doing combat jiu-jitsu, because that's a fucking problem with jiu-jitsu. If your whole game is like off sit-up guard, you go into MMA, what are you gonna do? You're gonna have to change your whole fucking game. You don't think that's a problem that you have to change your whole fucking game. That's a problem. So that's what combat jiu-jitsu does is when I do EBI, the only reason I did EBI, sub only, it's because I couldn't get it sanctioned. I couldn't get combat jiu-jitsu sanctioned. It was all about combat jiu-jitsu. So I'm like, shit, it was too hard to get it sanctioned with the exact format that I wanted. They gave me like a modified weird version. It didn't work out. So I go, you know what? I'll just do sub only. So I did EBI, and I did only because I couldn't get combat jiu-jitsu sanctioned the way I wanted to. So, and then yes, all the complaints about sub only, I agree with. Too many, like, leg, everyone's just jumping on legs. Nobody's mounting. Nobody's guard passing. So when there's no strikes, man, you could just spam legs, spam legs, spam legs. So with combat jiu-jitsu, it brings the mount back. Mount's very important. Leg locks aren't that important in combat jiu-jitsu. You still win. You know, we're finding out which leg locks work with strikes and which ones don't. We're finding that out with combat jiu-jitsu. A lot of data. Every show, data on what jiu-jitsu works when strikes are allowed. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in anything else but What jiu-jitsu is the best when strikes are added. That's my whole purpose for living.
You know what's right? You know what? It's kind of ironic that you do both the EBI rules and the combat world and the combat jiu-jitsu is you're going to be getting guys ready for the fucking EBI and they'll be like, all right, on the back, I'm going to escape it. All right, he's mounted, I'm out. They're going to do that same shit when the combat, they better not have that philosophy. I make, sometimes my guys, they'll be getting ready for a tournament like that and they get comfortable with just escaping back. We talked about this before, escaping back. And now they're facing them and now they're mounted. Where I agree, in sub only, it might be harder to get finished. But fuck, if they're doing a combat world and they think they're escaping the back just to get mounted, they're going to get fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying. In the overtime, once you get to mount, it's considered an escape. I see what you're saying because you could keep it going, but you could say the same thing about side control. Like if you had my back and I escaped and now you have side control, you could say the same thing. You could let it go. Or if you have my back and I escape, now you're mounted. Yeah, you're in the mount. But there's time constraints and yeah. Overtime is just like, it's just the rear naked choke shootout. We can't get like, it can't be like there's, we got to end it at some point. So that's why we ended in the mount. But I see what you're saying. If you escape to the mount, but in regulation, you're going to get fucked up, you know, but in OT, it's just a rear naked choke shootout. If you could transition to an arm bar off it, that's good too. But we're just, the overtime is all about the audience. All right. Because in jiu-jitsu, it's always the promoters usually get paid by the competitors. Right. So when like IBJJF, that their rules are for the competitors. Their rules are not for the audience member. That's why there's nobody in the audience, because since the competitors are paying $160, they want rules that they're comfortable with. And usually it's the least amount of risk, right? So points, like if you lost by an advantage, you're like, yeah, I lost, but it was by an advantage. It isn't that risky, right? But if you made the audience the priority, like what do they want? Forget about what the competitors want. I'm not taking any money from competitors. You're not paying me. The audience is going to pay me. So what do they want? So if you gave the audience a choice, you have 10-minute jiu-jitsu match and it's close. It could have gone either way. Do you want guys coming out with flags, raising flags, deciding? Or do you want a wrestling shootout to see who wins? Or do you want a rear naked choke shootout to see who wins? The audience will always pick rear naked choke shootout. Competitors are the ones that don't like the rules, but it's like when you go on a game show. Can you imagine you go on a game show like Jeopardy and you're like, I don't like these rules. I'll only do Jeopardy if we answer like this and if we get these kind of questions. They go, get the fuck out of here. You know, no one, it's the same thing with the rules I make. I make the rules for the audience, not for the competitors. A lot of the competitors are like, fuck that, I ain't doing that shit. You know what I mean? I ain't gonna have no rear naked choke shootout to decide who wins. Guess what? We're doing it here. And people, the audience loves it, dude. They love the overtimes. So, you know, it's the competitors that don't like it. Sorry, Don, but I'm all about the audience. This is all for the audience. It's all for entertainment. And I don't like decisions. I don't like judges. You know, since day one, they've always been the problem in jiu-jitsu. Since day one, since the 90s, and Joe Marrero was doing tournaments on the West Coast, it's always the referee. He didn't give me 2 points. He fucked me up. Oh, he's Brazilian. Oh, I thought knee bars were legal, but now he said it. Dude, judges have always been the problem. Always. So if you're going to start a jiu-jitsu tournament, you're going to promote a jiu-jitsu tournament, and you're going to bring judges in, it's always been the problem. It's just me and Vic. You're like, you guys decide. You guys hash it out. Rear naked choke shootout.
Dude, you're doing something right, man. Congrats. Listen, Eddie, I know you a long time. Congrats on all your success. Yeah. Seriously, man. You're a good dude. I mean, shit. Me and you were kind of like OGs in the game now. I don't know how that happened.
But You were in Abu Dhabi in the 90s, dog. Like 98.
2001. Close. 2001. It was, man.
Dude, you're
getting attacked by your master, the great John Jock.
You're a legend, man. You know, John Jock Machado's my master. That's my master. And you got to win over him. And nothing but props and respect, because John Jock fucks me up.
Like, John Jock fucks me up
all the time. Hey, you know?
Eddie, I always equate that to my, almost to like my, Because people who don't know who John Jock Machado is, I always say, look, man, that's like my, that was like my GSP fight in MMA. After that match, I'm like, good, I accomplished enough. Let me concentrate on my fighting because that guy's a legend. I love, and he's a great person. And I love his Instagram. I love his, I love everything he does. Big fan.
Yeah. Yeah. John Jock's a legend, man. That's a huge win for you, man. And you're a legend. And,
you are a legend as well. Took out Hoyla Gracie, the great Eddie fucking Bravo. Let's go, man. Jimmy.
Yes, Eddie, I want to plug the podcast too. Look into it with Eddie Bravo. And dude, thanks for coming on. We'd love to have you again. You're a great guest, and you're a fascinating guy. So anytime you want to come back and promote something, please do.
Thank you. Thank you. And all you guys listening out there, we're talking about combat jiu-jitsu. It's on Fight Pass. Just go to Fight Pass Combat Jiu-Jitsu Worlds. Watch the one from a month ago, the welterweight one. Oh, shit. And also Medusa. We do the same thing, 16 girls combat jiu-jitsu. Medusa.
Yeah. Hannah Goldie got caught, but Hannah Goldie was looking like I think it was in the Medusa thing. She was fucking, dude, she was like Matt Bruton on the floor with the fucking palm strikes. Yeah. It was
She definitely has the most professional ground and pound out of all the girls that we've had. She's number one. Number one ground and pound. She was a machine.
And she ended up getting caught, not to give it away, but Jesus, what a nice match.
Yeah, man. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
Eddie.
I love
you, man. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Eddie.
Anytime you want me back, just say the word. We'll make it happen, man. Thank you, guys. Good luck.
All right, take care, buddy. Good talking to you.
Good night, Bravo.
He's a really interesting guy, Eddie. I enjoy listening to him. He's got such a passion when he talks about it, and he's just an easy guy to listen to.
Got a unique mind, you know.
Yes, he does.
And he's a nice guy. He's a good guy, just like you, my bird. Even if Bobby Green doesn't think so.
That's okay. I would argue that point. At one point I didn't raise it, since you're going to mention Bobby Green, is if what I'm saying is crazy or wrong, why is it then when a coach is telling a guy in between rounds, oh, look, we don't know how they scored that round. You got to go in. Like when they might be 1-1 going into this. Like, why else do they give them that pep talk if it doesn't change strategically the way a guy might look at a third or a fifth round? Of course it does.
Well, this is what I would say to you when you think some say it's crazy. I would say some say it's crazy, but it's true.
No.
Jimmy, I was just wondering, though, if you get caught between the moon and New York City, I know it's crazy. Hold on, Jimmy, wait a couple of beats, but it's true. All right, Jimmy, what do you want to plug?
Tonight.
I did that purposely before you plug, because I know you would have left.
Hang up. Fat Black Pussycat, 7 o'clock. It's been selling out every week. I'm there every Wednesday through the end of May. And if you're in Cleveland, Friday night only. Saturday is sold out. Matt, talk to you. The fight, let's plug the fights, too.
Am I seeing you in a couple of days, or are you traveling after that?
I'm traveling next week.
Hold on.
What?
I thought it was, what's today?
Today's Wednesday.
My bad, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it was the beginning of the week. I'm kind of shot. But listen, man, safe travels. And with
Pavlovich, nationally pro. Pavlovich against Curtis Blades this Saturday. A great fight. Sergey is number 3. Our pal Curtis, number 4. And that is going to be 4. What, buddy?
Who are you taking with Curtis Blades versus Sergey?
You know, Sergey has been on such a roll. And he has, let me look at the last guys they've fought. I'm going to probably take Curtis Blades because Tuivasa, Lewis, Abdurakhimov, Maurice Green, he's beaten some really good guys, all first round knockouts. Curtis is
coming off. Curtis Blades.
So am I. 2 first round knockouts. But Curtis, I think, has also, I mean, again, he did lose to Lewis and he has lost twice to Francis. So he a good striker who is not necessarily a threat on the ground has stopped Curtis Blades, his 3 losses. So you can't not look at that and consider it, because fucking Sergey is a hammer striker. But I'm still going to take Curtis. I think he finds a way to grind him up against the cage and impose his will. So I'm going to take Curtis. I think he stops him in the third.
I got Curtis Blades, and I'm going to say by decision. I think he's going
to. Okay. Have. Yeah, I thought that too, but I also think Sergey has been so used to going 1 round only. I think by the 3rd round, a guy like Curtis, who has had you know, quite a few go longer, I think is able to finish that in the third.
Jimmy, I'm changing my mind. Fourth round stoppage, Curtis Blaydes.
Okay.
Okay. I will up your round to fourth round. You say third round.
Okay.
Very good. Jimmy.
What do you think? Bobby Green, Jarrett. Let's do Bobby Green, Jarrett Gordon. Jarrett's coming off that loss to Patty, which he won. And Bobby's coming off two stoppages to Drudober and Makachev. Huh. What do you think?
Now, this is what I'm going to do. And I really think that Jarrett Gordon has a really great story. He came from, but they both do. Listen, man, life is rough. But yeah. I like that he overcame like a drug addiction, and I like his story. But Bobby Green is really channeled in. And I think Jarrett is tough, and I think he's going to be in this fight. He's going to be in it. But when Jarrett sometimes gets a little, if the guy's got him a little outgun standing, he could add in the grappling. But I know Islam was able to do it, but Bobby Green's not an easy guy to get down and hold down and whatnot. I'm gonna say Bobby Green by decision.
I'm gonna take Gordon by decision because I think he's dealt with somebody very recently who is very, very vocal and who had the whole crowd on his side. So I think he's gonna be ready for Bobby. And I think, again, judging by Gordon's last performance, I think he eats out a decision.
Jimmy. Listen, yes. We agree to disagree.
That's okay.
I miss you already. Be safe driving out there, Jimmy.
It's a long drive. See me in Cleveland. Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. Thank you to Bobby Green and to Eddie Bravo. And we'll talk to you next week.
Good times. Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah, bye.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.